is alive and he's working in us. Hallelujah. Thank you for those testimonies. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the word. We look to your Holy Spirit to teach us, to lead us and guide us in truth right now. Father, I pray your peace be over everyone, that their faith be strengthened and joy would spring forth this day. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like you to open your Bibles. I'm going to stray off a week or two here from the series I was doing on Ephesians. And sometimes it works that way where something else is pressed upon you by the Holy Spirit. And, Luke 8:22 is where we will go. I was, went in for a certain procedure, hospital, and I guess they had me on antibiotic that day or something. Anyway, I didn't sleep Tuesday night, and I had encounters with the Holy Spirit, downloads from God, and as we were worshiping, I felt I'm not even going to share all of it today, maybe next week. We'll continue, but there's certain important things I need to share with you, and pay close attention in the fear of the Lord, that he can speak wisdom and understanding and knowledge to your heart. But Luke 8:22 says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us go over to the other side of the lake.' And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we perish.' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, 'Where is your faith?' They, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, 'What manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him.'" Now this story or account is also in Matthew and Mark. So there's three different accounts, pretty much the same, but there's a few little variations with some words there that I may point out. But we're going to proceed from Luke 8:22. And what we see here, Jesus was continuing on his ministry in his life on the earth and revealing the things of God and all that he was doing. In the midst of that, they were going to travel across the sea there, or the lake, and a storm arose up. And the disciples were very, very afraid. Jesus was asleep in the boat. And they were very, very afraid. Now, you have to consider, half of these guys were professional fishermen. Professional fishermen encounter everything on the sea. And for the most part, they're not going to be afraid. Yeah, they're tough guys. They're not going to be afraid. So this must have been really, really bad. I mean, I remember as a boy, my uncle and my father would take me fishing, and they had a cabin down along the river below Safe Harbor Dam. And we'd be coming back, it'd be dark. And there's rocks down there, you know, in the river. And they'd be going, flying as fast as that boat motor would take us, and weaving in and out of these rocks, and they would rock the boat down to like about 2 inches above the water on either side. I'm just like 6 years old, you know, about scared out of my wits. So they're having fun tormenting me. I mean, if you have people like that in your life, who needs the devil? But anyway, but they knew what they were doing, and I had a trust, because I knew they knew. And they were just playing with me, you know. So So they weren't worried. Yeah, they knew what they were doing, even though it was dark, because they knew where the rocks were, and they had like a flashlight going on the Susquehanna River. But the disciples, professional fishermen, these weren't part-time hacks here, professional fishermen, scared out of their wit. So here they are, and they wake Jesus up. And in one of the other gospel accounts, it says, "Master, you know, Lord, save us, save us." They're crying out to him to save them, because the storm kicked up while they were out there. It's all around them. There's no way of escape in the natural. So they get so desperate, they wake Jesus up. Now, Jesus declared the will of God. We're going to the other side. He declared it. So for him, it's a done deal. His whole life was about the will of God. And we need to grow in faith to where we believe that God will give us whatever it takes to do his will. Now, when you're committed to his will, you can have that kind of faith and expectation. Whatever it takes. If it takes a miracle, so be it. A miracle. God doesn't do miracles to entertain us or to humor us or to humor himself. He does them to fulfill his will and his purposes. So this is the scenario here. And what I feel to say to you, and I've had some of these things in me for some years now, but God's saying, now's the time to say it. And so there's a discipline. You don't speak till it's the time. Amen. Whether it's to anybody. You don't just shoot your mouth off. You're wrong. You wait till God says, okay, now's the time. And I've shared things on this line before to a certain degree. I'm going to go a little deeper in it today because I have a release of the Spirit. And I'm just going to make this statement. Storm clouds are on our horizon. There is a brewing storm in our nation and on the earth beyond what we've seen before. Now, that should not strike any fear in your heart. It's not my intention to do that. But it's the truth. It's the truth. And you cannot be the ostrich and stick your head in the sand, pretend it's not there, or you will be destroyed if you purpose to live like that. There is a storm on the horizon. And I'm not going to get into everything, but you have to understand the crazy stuff going on is the spirit of Antichrist behind it. English and all the intellectuals say, "Oh, why are they doing that? Why is the president doing this? Why are they doing that?" The simple answer: it's demonic. It's the spirit of Antichrist, and nothing less than that. And many, many are completely deceived by demonic spirits. I can't say it any more plain than that. There are people maybe you're trying to reach out to that do not have any ears to hear. I want to tell you, they are deceived by demons. And there's no end to crazy when people are under demonic influence. I mean, you see it sometimes. Somebody goes off and kills a bunch of people, whatever. But some of this evil that's going on, one of the things is the hatred for the Jews. But there's also an emerging rhetoric right now against Christianity in the United States of America. And they can keep beating that drum and stir like an Adolf Hitler did, that you're the problem because you oppose what the Antichrist wants. Now you have a choice you'll have to make continually down the line. You can stand strong in faith, or you can compromise to try to appease the demonic spirits. But we need to be strong in our faith that our God is with us. He loves us. He's given great and precious promises to us. And as we're pursuing to the will of God, be it the need of miracles, so be it miracles. Healings, supernatural provision, whatever it might be, we as the church have every right to believe for that and to have an expectation for it. And in the days we're living in, some could look at it as negative and evil, but I see them as great and glorious. Because if your heart's for the glory of God, what greater time than this for God to be glorified than when, as His people, take their place and move forward, not pretending like it's not there, not wishing and hoping. Faith is not to make it that you never have to deal with a problem. If you believe that, you're deceived. It's not for that. But rather, we have a covenant with God whereby we can believe God and go on to victory through whatever we would incur and encounter. And that needs to be how our jaw is set. And I've been sharing on this in Bible study time. Y'all need to be there on tests and trials, because you're going to need that revelation, the revelation coming, to go forward. And you can count yourself blessed that you're in a place you can hear it, because there are so many in the body of Christ are not hearing this. And what's taking place now, we are in a state of backsliding in this nation beyond anything before. However, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And we can have greater expectation for the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. But we need to be committed to Him. Eyes on Him. No half-hearted stuff. Or you'll be the compromising people. The COVID thing was a trial test, trial balloon. And most of the body of Christ failed that test because the spirit of fear got on them. And we refused to do that. We weren't going to shut down and bow our knee to a man who's being influenced by demonic spirits. That was a trial test. And the majority, the vast majority of believers bowed their knee to the devil. And they don't even know they did it. Oh, that's what we're being told to do. That's a dumb sheep's way of making an excuse for their unbelief. Oh, we're just following orders. That's what the German people said when our troops marched them into those death camps. And said, look at what you've allowed. You know what we made them do? We made them shovel up all the dead bodies. It's like rubbing their nose in it. I'm not saying, yeah, that's a good thing, but I'm just saying that's what happened. It's history. And these things repeat themselves. And those same demonic spirits that were working back then are at work today. And you look at what's happening. I'm just going to sort of feed you a little bit at a time here. Don't want to blow your minds. You know, the Russians, when the Germans went in, and the Germans, when the Russians came into their country, they did what's called scorched earth policy. They burn up everything so as their enemy would not get blessed with any of their goods. Scorched earth. It's happened through history. And demonic spirits are in places of power and authority in our nation. And most people just going on their merry way, wanting to entertain their flesh and be comfortable and feel secure, and it's all an illusion. There is an agenda, and there are storm clouds on our horizon. Now, the body of Christ can take its place and pray and change some things for a time. And the reason you want to do that love says that more can be saved. It's not, oh, I just want to feel good. That's not the love of God. That's selfishness, self-centeredness. But love would say, Lord, give us more time, like with the parable in Luke about digging around the tree there. Give us more time that more can be saved. Because that's what God's doing in the earth today, around the world, and more so in other places than here. But he's moving in great ways in many parts, but you don't hear about it here. We don't really hear about it. So that's where you need to hear the testimony of missionaries who might be right where the present day move of God is in the moment. And there's a great harvest of souls. And he'll harvest more souls here. But there's times throughout history, there's different pockets where there's great outpourings of the Spirit. And it's as a people get desperate and hungry and cry out to God and they know there's nothing else. There's a storm all around. Lord, save us. And he begins to move amongst peoples who didn't know him. You see, that's cause for great celebration and rejoicing. We need to always have these things before us that we continue to celebrate Jesus and rejoice. Well, as I mentioned, the body of Christ is so caught up in the love of pleasure, which it takes money to do that. So then they pursue money to get pleasure, more money to get more pleasure. And there's a whole generation, maybe two generations, that don't really even have much of a clue. And I don't mean this detrimental. I'm saying matter-of-factly. There's not much of a clue on what the real move of God is. You go back some generations in this land, there was powerful moves of God where many were coming to the Lord. Not just some few people gathering for service, jumping up and down. Many gathering, many coming to Jesus. In the late 70s into the 80s, there was a great move of God in this nation of prayer and intercession. We were a part of that the whole way through it. A great move of God. And over the last 20, 25 years, it's been dissipating. Getting less and less. And it only points to that people want, do something for me. If I come to church, I want to be entertained, humored, my flesh comforted. Something for me. But when you go into prayer for others, or prayer for a nation, it's nothing for you. It's all for others. And that's the love of God. And apart from the love of God, there's very little prayer. And there's very little faith. And there's a great need for such a move again. I remember 1991, we're on the verge of war with Iraq. And you could drive down the road at night, and every church you would pass, the parking lot was full for 1 week. The 4-day war blew over. No more. Oh, now we can be comfortable again. And that's history. That's fact. But I was watching this back then. And through the 80s, at the end of the Carter administration, we were in trouble like we are now. Not quite as bad as, well, in some ways worse, some ways not as bad. And it was a great move of God in prayer. That's what changed things. Worldly historians will say it was Ronald Reagan. Praise God for Reagan. He was a great man, great president. But it wasn't because of him. He was at the forefront. It was the prayer of the saints. The prayer of the saints brought more time and brought deliverance for our land. A few years ago, we were part of the Jonathan Kahn meeting in D.C., it's called The Return. And he had shared, and there was various other prophets and so forth. Many of you were here. We were praying with them. through that whole day. And he had shared how the thing that was lacking from that other move, there was the prayer, but a lack of repentance. So here we are, worse to worse to worse because of lack of repentance. You need the prayer, but there also has to be repentance. And that needs to come, and it will come for many. And there'll be those who will get harder and harder. But everyone will have a choice in this land. Everyone will have a choice. Give it all to Jesus or love the world. And there's blessing and cursing with each one, with blessing with God, cursing with the world. And so anyway, the move of God, there's a great need. Now, this is not any point for any condemnation. Don't hear me the wrong way. It's not where I'm coming from. Jesus has a plan before his return, and God's going to be glorified. Let us go to the other side. That's why you're on the earth. I've been sharing that from the Ephesian epistle. That's why you're on this earth. That's why there's purpose for your life. And the storm came when Jesus was in that boat. And there are storms come in our lifetime. It's not always a storm, nor is it always sunny. There's the times of the sun, there's times of the storm. But we're on the horizon. We're on the verge of a storm. And as I was alluding to the scorched earth, the Antichrist spirit moving people today are more than willing to completely destroy our nation. See, I heard some tapes ...50 years ago... along these lines. And how the enemy had a plan. And these people were unfolding this plan. I don't know if I have that tape. Who even listens to cassettes anymore? But it's playing a box somewhere. And there was an awareness back then. And there was a call through the prophetic ministries to people to come to pray. And just as in the days with Jeremiah and the prophets, the majority, they don't really hear. They're so caught up in the day-to-day of this world. But there's been a remnant on through. In 2016, I wondered before that election, Lord, is there enough people, enough of your people still, to turn this thing to give us another chance? And there was. Because God had chosen a man to step in, an imperfect man like you, an imperfect man like you women too. It is a complete error to demand someone to be used of God has to meet your standards. That's a Pharisaical, self-righteous thought. God can use who he chooses to use. So don't go down that road. At least don't do it in my presence, because I'll correct you gently. But that's error. It's erroneous thought. And our salvation's not in a politician or a man in government. In Jesus' time, he faced all the same stuff we do. There were a people called the Herodians. They were looking to politics. A people called the Zealots. They wanted revolution. A people called the Sadducees. They just wanted to be a good boy according to the law, but be in a place of power. A people, and they denied the supernatural, called the Pharisees, who believed in the supernatural, but were very self-righteous, eyes focused on what they were doing and not on God. And then there was Essenes, another people group, who were very much like trying to do everything in the natural perfect. And Jesus was the light in the midst of all that darkness. Along with that, the Roman oppression, where people were practically slaves. Sort of like you are to your taxation system here. So Jesus already faced all that. And he declared, I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. He didn't say, a man's going to deliver you per se. Now back in the Old Testament, the book of Judges, there would be a judge raised up, but God was working through him. But the thing here is, our heart shouldn't be, make it good for me. But rather, Lord, your will be done. Let us go to the other side. Let us proceed on to your will being done in our lives and you being glorified. And at the when the horn sounds, he's going to come back for his church, his bride, a glorious church. He's coming back for us. Amen. But until then, we walk through it all with victory. And that we need to be very purposed in that. Now, well, I'll mention this now. Jesus said, where's your faith? Now, he doesn't have an attitude. He just, where's your faith? He asked him a question. The Lord, if you stay with him in the boat, you're not a man overboard. Stay with him. And you're the end of yourself. You can cry out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Now, I want to bring you a word of encouragement, a few different words of encouragement here. But I think I will at this point. If you are at the end where you have no strength, God has a provision. It's called the prayer of the saints. You don't have to fear being at the end of yourself. Brother Allen testified last week. I shared when I was in the hospital there, I couldn't even talk. I was so weak. I don't know how close to death I was. It's closer than I ever knew before. And Donna put out a request for prayer. And many prayed who did. I don't know all who or how much. It's not the point. And you don't need vast numbers. What you need, somebody in faith. There's no point to, can I get a million people praying? That doesn't mean a thing. If we're all praying in unbelief, it's worthless. But where two or three gather in his name, if there's agreement, if there's faith, the Spirit of God will move. And I knew there was a revelation that came to me in a greater way. That the prayer of the saints carried me for a little while there. God wants you to stand in faith for yourself. But there can be times you can't even think. You can't even talk. You can't even breathe, like what Brother Allen was sharing. Fighting for the next breath. Yet standing in faith. And it's okay if you do something in the natural to help you, because you have to function. That you can breathe, you can think, you can speak again. He wants us to rise up and take our place. But if you come to the place, you have no strength. You can cry out like that man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. Well, Lord, I have no strength, but you are my strength. And by faith, in knowing the people of God are in prayer for you, you can draw upon that in spirit. So, there in Ephesians 6, that armor's given that we persevere in prayer for the saints, and there is a need for perseverance in prayer. Not a little dabble, do you? And if you're living your life for pleasure, you don't have time to do it. There's a consecration in this that's needed. And the more of us there are, the more can be done. When I was back in the 80s, I used to love hearing the old timers. Of course, I was pretty young then, in my late 20s or whatever. The older saints. back during a wartime, the Depression, the Pentecostals, and hear how they prayed. And I thought, man, we don't hold a candle to that. However, in that time, there was a great move of God. And what's going on today doesn't hold a candle to 1980. Seriously. Some of you observed that, were part of that, and you can say amen with me. Because you know what I'm saying is true. And you see, there's a generation, especially younger people, are deceived. They think church is going to eating a donut and having a cup of coffee. Yippity-yak about a bunch of nothing. We need the testimony of Jesus to strengthen us, as we heard this morning. We need to hear the word of God to impart a strength of faith to us. We need the Holy Spirit's ministry. We need to train ourselves to hear the Holy Ghost. Begin to allow the Holy Spirit to train you to know His voice. Brother McMillan down in Columbia, I talked to him in 96. Assassins were killing all kinds of pastors, politicians, businessmen. It's terrible. I said, Brandy, what are you going to do? He said, I feel safer in the will of God than in a safe place. And I think he learned that from Brother Arthur, I think. But I never forgot those words. And they were delivered many times from assassins, him and his wife both, at their home, at the church, on the road, many times. And Brother Randy said to me, now where they lived, sort of like a nicer part of the city of Cowie, which is the size of Philadelphia, and they live in the midst of all these cartel people. And I was at his house, we were going to go out, he says, now don't carry your camera out. They'll take it. I said, well, who's going to take my camera? The cartel guys. They see you out there. They'll think you're photographing them. They'll grab us. Take your camera. Maybe they'll let us live. Maybe not. He said, I have to hear from God to open my front door. That's what he said to me. I have to hear from God to open my front door. Yeah, and Brother Dale, like going into Ukraine, is encountering that. You have to hear from God. Because any minute, a bomb could drop anywhere in the country. And there's fighting and, you know, all this stuff going on. You have to hear from God. Train yourself. This is the word of the Lord to you today. Train yourself to hear His voice. See, here we drive down the road and there's two double yellow lines. We think the other guy's going to stay on his side. Well, if he's drunk, he might not be able to. See, we assume so much. And you can assume your government is going to help you. And there's so much evil. Weaponizing agencies. The reason they're letting these millions The reason they're letting in all these illegals, many of whom, not all of whom, many of whom are from drug gangs, China, I mean, who knows what all, is to set up for riots, chaos, violence that will then justify martial law and military rule. In that, they can suspend all elections, and the House of Representatives are all suspended. You have a dictatorship like exists in many countries. That's what they're working towards. That's scorched earth. They have to destroy it all. Now, they prefer if they can just control us all through manipulation and fear. And then they can possess still. If they have to destroy it all, they have no problem with that. Well, you conspiratorial theory guy, I'm just speaking the truth. And the Bible reveals these things to us. So, if you're in a place, there's any fear there, do what the disciples did. Lord, save me! Save me! I'm staying in a boat with you, Jesus. Save me. But he said, Lord, Or the Lord said, where's your faith? He wants you to speak to the storm. Now that's not a game we would play. But when you know the will of God, know the power of God stands behind it. When we were building this building, and we were going to pour the concrete to from right where I'm sitting on backstage, we had the concrete ordered. Heavy rains rolled in. We were waiting for the concrete. We would have canceled. We would have lost all this money. To pour it, we would have lost all this money. Because you can't finish concrete in a heavy rain. We had to jackhammer it all up. And some concrete contractors end up doing that sometimes. They have to jackhammer it all up and rebuy it all again. And it was myself, Brother Tim Meyer, who's an evangelist who transitioned into prophetic ministry, and another brother. We were here, well, the concrete's coming. The concrete's coming. We prayed, spoke the word. And a window in heaven opened above this building site, right here. And all around in every direction, it was pouring down rain. And there was no rain in like this 100-foot diameter. That was a miracle that God did. But the will of God was to build the building. That was the go to the other side word. So you can believe for what it takes to do it. So going to the other side. We had other miracles like that, but that was the more notable one. Another one, there was a super strong wind came, and these apartments out of here, the Waterford apartments, were being built. And they were just stick framed. There was nothing on the sides. Blew it all down. They were all blown over. I rode by it. He had come here. All blown down. But when I heard that in my house where I was at, Begin to pray. The angels to sit on the roof, because we had half this roof up, which was a giant sail, and the wind was coming that direction. Prevailing wind comes from the southwest. A giant sail lifted up. Angels sat on that thing. We got here. All those houses under construction were blown over, and that roof was still there. God will do miracles. Many times we limit God with unbelief or lack, weak faith. God will do the miracles. But he wants to use you. And with what's coming, the storm that's coming, I mean, for me, I got complete peace about this. I'm not worried about it at all because I know my God. If there's any fear striking your heart in what I'm saying, don't blow me off. Press in to him and be strengthened in your faith, because this moment in time reveals that. If there's any inkling of fear in your heart, you need to get into the place he wants you to be. But remember, Lord, save me! You can do that too, but not out of a point of laziness. You knew that. Don't worry about, am I ever enough? No. We're always growing, but you can cry out to him. But he wants us to rise up strong because of love. That we can speak to the storm in other people's life and be vessels to bring deliverance from a spirit of fear. And I shared with you what the Lord revealed to me is about 6 years ago now, I guess. Waves of fear coming. Unknown disease, terrorism, economic collapse. Number three is about to happen. You know, there's plans to undo the dollar as the world currency. British, Russia, India, China, call it the BRICS, South Africa. They've been planning this for a while. We don't fear. God still is who he is. I say this to you. Make sure you keep tithing. Don't say, oh, no, I need more money. Trust God. Work where He gives you work. Don't stop tithing. That's your promise of protection there. Well, He wants us to rise up and to begin to, in love, to be able to still the storm in somebody else's life. Tuesday, as I came out of that procedure, we came out and I had been in and out, and they have a valet parking at New York Hospital. It's kind of nice for Donna, you know, to just pull up, drop me off. Some guy takes the car out to the lot. But there was a young man who's mainly Donna, been engaging conversation, you know, polite, be kind. It's real simple. Be kind to people. And he knew we're believers. I guess he even knew we were pastors. But before she gets in the driver's side, he's the one getting her car to some, because I have a bunch of guys there. I think he runs to get us. And he said, what did he say? How did he say it? He began to ask questions about end time stuff.
About the April 8th solar eclipse.
Oh, a solar eclipse coming.
He wanted to know what I thought about it.
He wanted to know what she thought. So 15 minutes later, I'm sitting in the car, or 10 or however many it was. But Donna was getting to share the Word of God with this guy. He's soaking it up. Now, why do you tell us that? There's a reason. You don't know where your next encounter is going to be. You don't know that God may position you with a word, the Word of God, to bring deliverance from fear, deliverance from anxiety, deliverance from the fear of the unknown. We need to be available, be strong, and be willing. If you're so busy in life, you've got no time for something like that. Don't let yourself live like that. Be willing to stop and say, hey, we'll get home when we get home. We'll eat when we eat. This person's more important right now. And there's a lot of people out there. Sorry for whispering. I don't want to sound like a certain authority figure that does that. I can't stand when he does that. There's a lot of people out there. Okay. A lot of people out there who succumbed to fear 4 years ago, who will succumb to fear again, who may have heard enough of the Bible to know there's some people that know. Are you one of the ones that know? Tell me, sister. Tell me, brother. And love would have us go on to grow in victory, that when the storm comes, we're not moved. If you are calling the Lord, but we're not moved, that we can be a pillar of strength to the people that we're going to encounter, because you can expect for a lot of divine appointments coming up here real soon, if you're available. Expect it.
Yes.
In the grocery store, pumping gas, getting a valet who's on his job to stop to say, can you help me with this? Do you know about this? Well, you all know. You're hearing the word. You got answers. Now, you don't want to come off arrogant or proud or anything else. Come off in humility. Come off in love. A spirit of gentleness, because that's how the Holy Spirit deals. Yeah, I'm unloading here. I didn't even get half of it out yet, but as I was laying on my bed last night, I was meditating this stuff and listening to preaching and worship. A song kept coming to me. It's by some old friends, Mike and Kathy Dacey. Many of you remember them. They're pastoring a church outside of Houston. That's what they've been doing for some recent years here. And Kathy, his wife, they're both professional. And he was one of the most well-known guitar players, played on Elvis Presley's and all these famous people's albums. He was doing the guitar. And he got saved and ended up mentored by the Copelands and was his worship leader until he went out on his own ministry. And his wife was a famous singer, Kathy. What was that one? I Am Woman or something like that. Backup singer for who? Helen Reddy. And a bunch of them. They were. But they're awesome believers. And not just like entertainers. They're awesome believers. Good friends. Well, anyway, I kept hearing a song that she sang. She sang it here. Awake, my captain, or oh captain. So if you could play that now, I'd appreciate that. Give enough volume. Listen closely to the words. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you.